Evening, Shalom Aleichem. Before I begin my share for tonight, I just want to mention I was just heard a very heartrending story. What happens when there's a lack of shalom in this world? So it's a time to bear in mind the season for Oyev Shalom, Verodev Shalom. A very fundamental question, probably the most fundamental question that we could ask ourselves, is what is our purpose in this life? Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu put us here? And as Maminim, probably the simplest answer we would give would be to fulfill Torah and mitzvahs, learn Torah, do mitzvahs. And although nobody could really argue with that answer, it's really not sufficient. That is not the entire answer. And if you wanted to get a little more sophisticated, you might quote the Chovos Havavos and Shara Avodos Elokim. The Chovos Havavos explains that everything we do in this world, the way he puts it, is Eina Yotze Mitzivui V'Azhara V'Dehas Sipuk. It's either something you're commanded to do, something you're warned not to do, mitzvahs and averus, Dehas Sipuk, things you need to survive, and things which are either more than what you need or less than what you need to survive. And then he goes on to say that anything that is more than what you need or less than what you need to survive, you have to analyze it. Is it L'Shem Shemayim? Is it helping your Avodas Hashem? Then it's really a tzivui, it's a mitzvah. And if it's not, then it's really a azhara. And anything that you need to survive is also a mitzvah. So he reaches the conclusion, Ki kol ma'aseh b'nei Adam, einem yotzim min atzivui v'azhara. Every single deed that you do cannot be excluded from either being a commandment or a warning, a mitzvah and avera. And Bir Zaki Kol Osam Maisim Munatsivuyim Humaisa Tov. If it's a good deed, it's a commandment. Vianich Masasu Yachalamu Chavasu Mikatzer. If it's something he could have done, it would have been good, and he didn't do, he's being falling short of his obligation. Umisha Sadarman Asharas Huchote. If you do an Aver, it's a sin. Vianich Masasu, if you refrain from doing an Aver, it's tzaddik. Kashianich Bavur Yira Hashem, if you leave it because of the fear of Hashem. So it comes out, he says, that everything is either a tzivu atara, a mitzvah, or an avera. And therefore, perhaps a more sophisticated answer would be, we're here to serve Hashem, to be an eved Hashem, b'chol drachecha de'ehu. Everything we do can be an act of service to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I remember once encountering a college student who was, I don't know if you would call him not from, but I don't think you would call him from either. And he came to yeshiva, I was a bachur at the time, he came to yeshiva for Shabbos, and he was sitting at the table, and he asked, is it really true that there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, how are you supposed to tie your shoelaces? And the boys asked him, yeah, you're supposed to put on your right shoe first, and then your left shoe, then tie your left shoe, tie your right shoe. And he said, doesn't the Kadosh Baruch have anything better to worry about than how we tie our shoes? And I asked him, I say, look at it the other way around. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us an opportunity to serve Him even when we tie our shoes. Everything we do can be an act of service to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But even that, I don't believe, is the full answer. Rabbi Saul Salanter in the Or Yisrael says the following, U'bezos halo noda, in truth it is known, ki adam la'amo yulad, as Chazal say, man is born to work. Lilchom mechemes mitzvah, to fight the battle of a mitzvah. Vachovav l'visyageya b'avodas Hashem. And his obligation is to exert himself in the service of Hashem. Lo rak lishmar mashativo manicho me'atzma, not just to do the things that come naturally to him, that his nature allows him to do. U'mashu k'tzas kvedus azniyah, that which is a little difficult for him, he'll neglect it. Ki bezeh ofen, in such a way, ein adam ovad Hashem. A person is not serving Hashem, rather his nature is doing what comes naturally for it. The yuchol lihikare chalila paregol. A person like that could be called somebody who throws off the yoke of Shemayim. Kashalo yitain shum yegia lavodas Hashem Yisrach. He doesn't put any effort into serving Hashem. Rak lishmar mashein olavol, just to do things which are not a burden. Zosia yisod me'avodas ha'adam lebaro. This is the fundamental principle of serving Hashem. Lishmer v'lasos gam masha ein libo chaves, to do things that perhaps he doesn't want to do. Kim lo yosim ha'adam libo v'nash lasos neger etzon levavo, if a person is not prepared to do things that are not within his personal desire and interest, Hareyu Alu L'Chol Averus Shebetorah, he's susceptible to all the Averus in the Torah. And the reality is that every person is created with a certain mixture of traits and personality, a certain mezeg. And he has strengths and he has weaknesses. And some people are created with more gifts than others. And you might have a person who looks like a tzaddik gomer, looks like a righteous individual, but actually he isn't. He's doing the things that come naturally to him. For example, suppose a person is studious by nature. So he sits in the Beis Medrash hours on end, big masmid, 18 hours a day. But he loves it. It comes natural to him. But he's not so merv in mabrios. It's a little difficult for him to interact with other people. He's somewhat introverted. So when it comes to doing chesed, perhaps, or giving somebody an encouraging word, he finds it difficult and he doesn't do it. So the casual observer looks at this person and views him as a tzaddik. But in Shemayim, it's conceivable that such a person could be called a poregol. Somebody who is throwing off the burden of heaven because he didn't really try to do anything that didn't come naturally to him. People are created with all kinds of nature, some better and some worse, but nobody in the world was ever created perfect. Everyone has flaws and shortcomings and weaknesses. And his job in life is to improve, to remedy those things. So yes, we are here to serve Hashem, to keep Torah and mitzvahs, and to serve Hashem in other ways. But most importantly, we are here to improve our service of Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not asking us merely to be good. He is asking us to be better, better than we used to be. And if a person leaves this world in the same shape as he entered it, even if he did thousands upon thousands of mitzvahs and learned enormous amounts of Torah, it is still conceivable that he is a poregol. He must leave the world a better case than he entered it. And a story is told about the Rambam. I heard they've said about other people. A big Talmud Chacham actually told me that the story is likely not true. Nevertheless, the message is very true. The story goes that the Rambam, as you know, was a doctor of the Sultan, of the ruler, and he, as such, he participated in various cabinet meetings, if you will. And one of the members of the royal court said to the Sultan that he could civilize cats. He could train cats to be civilized, to serve a royal banquet according to all the rules of etiquette. And the king was very intrigued by this and gave him the resources, and he worked a long time in training these cats. Vayhi hayom, and now the banquet is coming, and the cats are dressed up in these garments, standing on their hind legs, going forward, and in their avodas Hashem, in the service of the king. And they walk in, carrying platters and serving it, the proper etiquette, the right side, the left side, doing all the things that they're supposed to do. And everyone's very, very impressed, oohing and aahing, except for the Rambam, who is sitting there very quietly. And the Sultan, the king, says to the Rambam, "Aren't you impressed? They've civilized the cat." Rambam said, "No, I'm not impressed. Let's see what happens." So the cats serve the first course, then they clear the dishes, doing everything properly according to all the rules of etiquette, and they come in to serve the second course. As they approach the shulchan, the Rambam puts out a little box. He opens the box, and a mouse runs out. All of a sudden, the cats drop the trays, run across the table, forget the uniforms, forget the service, and chase the mouse. The Rambam says, "You trained the cat, but you didn't civilize it." Everyone has a mouse, maybe some more and some less. Our job is to conquer that, to overcome that, when the mouse gets out of the box, so that we shouldn't chase it. And that's a difficult avoda. But that's really what life is all about. It's all about growth and progress. It's all about challenges. It's all about a yetzahara that tempts us and attacks us. It's about our weaknesses. And it's about our effort and our ability to overcome those weaknesses. An amazing vort I heard from my Rebbe, Zatzal, Rav Henoch Leibowitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, or Shiva Chavetz Chaim, for many decades. And he quoted Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov Avinu has his famous dream, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to him, and he identifies himself as Elkei Avram Avichu Velekei Yitzchak, says Rashi, Afal Pish Lo Matzinu B'Mikre Sheyichad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmo HaTzadikim B'Chayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not normally designate his name, associate his name with tzaddikim while they are still alive. And of course the reason for that is because as long as they're alive, they have Bechira, and you never know. Al Tam Atzchav Ad Yom Moscha. So it never does that. Lichtav Elekei Ploni. Mishum Shenemar, Hein Bikdosha V'Yamin. Hashem doesn't trust even the holy ones. But here, Khan, Yichad Shema Al Yitzchak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Miyachad his name on Yitzchak, even though Yitzchak was still alive at this point in time. Why? Lefisha Keyu Einav, because his eyes had become blind. For Kalu B'Bayis, and he's stuck in his house. Vareyu Kemeis, and he's like a dead person. For Yetzahara Pasak Menu. He doesn't have a Yetzahara anymore. So it's safe for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say Elokei Yitzchak. That's what Rashi says. Turn to the end of the parasha, when Yaakov is running away from Lavan, and Lavan chases him, and after the confrontation with Lavan, so what does Yaakov say? Lule, if not, for Elokei Avi, for the God of my father, Elokei Avram, the God of Avram, who pachad Yitzchak. He did not say Elokei Yitzchak. Hayuli, if they wouldn't have helped me, you would have sent me away empty-handed. Says Rashi, Lo ratza lomar Elokei Yitzchak. Yaakov didn't want to say Elokei Yitzchak. She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Miyachad Shema Tzadikim B'Chayeyim. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu does not designate his name on Tzadikim during their lifetime. Even though Hashem himself, when he was going out of Be'er Sheva, said, Ani Hashem Elokei Avram Avicha Elokei Yitzchak. Because he was blind, Vareyu Kameis. But Yaakov Nisiyare Lomar Elokei. Yaakov was afraid. So the obvious question is, how could Yaakov be afraid when he had the endorsement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How could you be more afraid than HaKadosh Baruch Hu is? So the Taz asks this question in Sefer Darkei David on Rashi, and the Taz answers, in one of his answers, that Yaakov was afraid because of kibud of the aim. Yaakov was afraid there was a lack of kavod to his father to say Elokei Yitzchak. Why? Because Elokei Yitzchak implies that he's like a dead person. He's blind, he's kalu b'bayis, there's no Yetzahara, and he's not facing challenges anymore. He's not growing. He's not steiging. He is what he is. He's the greatest tzaddik in the generation. He is an amazing person, but there's no longer any challenges. Maybe it's not kavodik. It's not honor. So Rav Leibowitz pointed out, what about the kavod of saying Elokei Yitzchak? Do you know how many people in the history of the world were zochet to such a title? Only three. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Moshe didn't make it. David HaMelech didn't make it. The Gemara tells us that David HaMelech was jealous, so to speak. David HaMelech asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what could I do to get the title Elokei David? Kadosh Baruch Hu said, they were Omed ben Nisayon, you weren't. Obviously, David was Omed in many Nisayonos. Everyone has hundreds, if not thousands, of Nisayonos all the time, but of the stature, of the level, of the difficulty that the others faced, that you didn't have, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So David said, so test me. And of course we all know that he did not pass the test. Whatever exactly the chait was, but he didn't make it. So David HaMelech couldn't reach that madrega. So by saying it like, hey Yitzchak, you are telling the world what an enormously tremendous tzaddik Yitzchak Avinu was, what a life of total devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu led, how he utilized every ounce of energy and every talent and every ability that Hashem gave him, how he grew and developed into a near-perfect human being. What could be a greater compliment to Yitzchak than to say Elokei Yitzchak? And yet, Yaakov Avinu was afraid. Why was he afraid? Because maybe it's not kavodim. Kavodat, kibudav. Who says it's the right compliment? It implies, indirectly, not even openly, but it implies that Yitzchak is not facing the Yetzer anymore. He's not facing those challenges anymore. And if that's the case, what is his value? What is his worth? What about all the things he's accomplished until now? That's very good. But I don't know, said Yaakov Avinu. It doesn't say he was sure, but he said he was afraid. It wasn't so pashut. Because it is such a fundamental yesod of what we are all about. It is so vital to understand who we are and why Hashem put us here. that if a person is not facing challenges and is not continuing in that process of growing, of doing those things that do not come easy to him, of doing those things that are not lefi what his own ratzon, if he's not doing that, then why is he here? It creates a pigam, if you will, a challenge in the kavod of Yitzhak Avinu. An amazing insight as to how vital and how important it is to maintain that constant level of growth. I'm reminded I once had a Talmud who came from a non-religious background, and he himself, on his own initiative, became frum around the age of 12 or 13. He told me, in fact, that he used to walk to the closest Orthodox shul, which is about 2 miles away from his home, and his parents were the nervous type. They were afraid of him walking so far, so they started driving their car following him to watch him, make sure he was safe. At some point in time, they realized how absurd that was. They hear their son is walking to shul on Shabbos and they're following him in their car, so they began to walk with him. Eventually, not only did he become frum, but he was able to influence his parents and his sister. He learned many years in yeshiva and kollel. His sister married a kollel young guy, and the parents are shomer Torah mitzvahs. This was this young man, and as he was in public school, of course, originally, and then he switched to a Jewish school, so to speak, not very Jewish, and he realized that wasn't the real deal, and he switched to another school. It wasn't Orthodox school, but wasn't perhaps as strong as he eventually wanted it to be, and he was there for, I believe, ninth grade. And after ninth grade, he transferred to our yeshiva. And he did very well, made up for lost ground. And when he was in 12th grade, I was the manal of the high school at the time, and what I used to do, I met with all the 12th graders to discuss their plans after high school, what they're going to do. So he told me he wanted to learn in Eretz Yisrael. I said, very nice, what yeshiva do you want to go to? So he mentioned the name of a yeshiva, which is basically geared for people with weak backgrounds and, you know, not so into learning. And it was a little surprising to me that he would think of such a place. I asked him, why in the world would you want to go there? And he said, well, when he was in ninth grade, his Rebbe told him that when he graduates, he should go to Eretz Yisrael, and this would be a good place to go to. So I said to him, do you really think you're the same place you are now as you were in ninth grade? And he looks at me and says, you think I should reevaluate? I said, I think so. And Baruch Hashem, he went to yeshiva and learned in kollel, and now is actually a Marvitz Torah. But he didn't realize that life is not where you are, it's where you're going. It's how much you grow. And that is really a success story, that you've made it from point A to point B. Of course, that growth should never end. I believe this is shot as well in the Rabag that can be found in the Parshas Bechukosai. The Rabag is talking about the Parsha of Erechin. It's found in the 12th Hasheni of Bechukosai. So Erechin is a particular type of hektish. If a person says Erechi Olai or Erech Ploni Olai, the value of myself or of another person is my obligation to hektish, so the Torah fixes amounts, specific amounts based on the gender and the age. It doesn't depend on the person's individual value in the slave market or the labor market, but there's standard amounts based on the age. And the Rabbag is going through the different explanations of what they represent, and he notes the fact that a boy from the age of 5 to 20 has a higher value than a man above the age of 60. And why is that so? So he says as follows, V'ulami ben chamei shana v'ad ben chaf shana, right, the maximum is from 20 to 60, but he said from chamei shana v'ad ben chaf shana, his value is shehecha lishazek. He begins to strengthen himself, the limos bara, and to be disgusted by evil, to reject evil, ubachar betov, and to choose good, ki udorech el hashlemus. He is striding towards shlemus, towards perfection. Hoya erech hazacher yoser mishu miben samach v'mal. It's a higher value than one who is above 60. Ki hu dorech el chisaron v'hefset. He is striding towards chisaron, loss, lacking, and hefset. He's on his way down. And this 5-year-old to 20-year-old is on his way up. What does that mean? He's not talking about physical characteristics, the labor market, so to speak. First of all, obviously, a young person is worth more on the labor market because he has more years of work ahead of him. It's nothing to do with shleimus and dorech and all that kind of stuff. And other rabbi, mi ben chamesh le'esim is probably more valuable than esim le'shisha. But if you look at the lashon of the Rabbag, you listen carefully to what he says. He's not talking about physical prowess. He's talking about ruchnius. He says, from 5 years to 20, sheheichel hischazek. What does he mean, hischazek, to become strong? Not physical strength. Limos bara ubachor betov. To reject evil and to choose good. He's talking about ruchnius. He's talking about avodas Hashem. Ki hu doreh el hashlemus. He is striding towards shlemus, shlemus hanefesh, perfection in his midos, in his Torah, in his mitzvos, in the avodas Hashem. So why is that more valuable than a 60-plus? A 60-plus has had an entire lifetime of striving towards perfection, and he probably has achieved much more of that. The Gedolei Yisrael are older people, generally speaking. And a person who is above the age of 60 is a greater Gadol than somebody between 5 and 20. So shouldn't there be a higher premium if you're talking about the spiritual value of a human being, a person who has already accomplished a lifetime of progress, of growth, and he's above 60? Shouldn't that be many times more valuable than 5 to 20? Not only that, more valuable than 20 to 60. What's going on? And I believe it's the same explanation. Yes, he's more valuable in the sense of what he actually accomplishes. A person who's 60 plus can be on the Madrega that he teaches Torah to all of Klal Yisrael. If not that great, Torah to his Talmidim, he has perhaps perfected his service of Hashem. He could be a lesson and an example for others, have tremendous hashpa. He could do tremendous, tremendous things. And if you measure the Torah and mitzvahs that he's doing compared to this young person, there's no measurement. There's no shayfas. There's no competition. He's miles ahead. But if you're talking about the growth factor, you're talking about how much they're growing, the challenges they're facing and the challenges they're overcoming, the young person is growing much more because he has so many more challenges. And he is only starting in that journey. He's Doreich El HaShleimus, but he's heading in that direction. If you want to measure their growth mode, it's the young person is ahead of the older person. The older person, generally speaking, has less of a Yetzer Hara and fewer challenges. Of course, he could still grow. Right? It's only Yitzhak Avinu and those unique circumstances that we said had no Yetzer Hara. He could still grow. But it's not the same. And we see then that the true value, in a certain sense, is not simply the Torah and the mitzvahs that you do, where the 60-year-old does much more than the 20-year-old. But it's how are you growing? How are you steiging? Where are you and where are you moving to? And that's really what life is all about. And if a person is constantly growing, there's no telling how much you could accomplish. I often tell my Talmidim very often, we have sincere people are looking, what's the best way to grow? Should I work on this? Should I work on that? Should I do the other thing? It's very difficult to tell. But people become paralyzed with such questions. What should I do first? I always tell them, don't worry about so much what you do first. Just do something. Grow. Be a little bit better than you were yesterday. When you're done with that, do something else. Because Baruch Hu should give you Arichas Yomim, and sooner or later, you'll get to everything. But if a person has that growth mode, then the sky's the limit. There's no telling what he could accomplish. And that's really the message of Rabbi Saul Salanter, it's the message of Rashi, and the message of the Rabbah. I'd like to share with you a famous story of Rav Sadia Gaon. Of course, as you know, Rav Sadia Gaon was the leader of his generation and a person who had a tremendous impact on all of Klal Yisrael and all the history of Klal Yisrael. And the Talmidim of Rav Sadia Gaon came to him and they asked him a question. We know you daven Shemoneh Esrei three times a day. And in Shemoneh Esrei you say, Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. And we know the Chazal say, "Ki adam ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechta." There's no person in the world who is such a great tzaddik that he only does good and never sins. So therefore, we believe that Chazal say is true, and we believe that even you, Rav Sadia Gaon, must have sinned at some point or another. But there's no way that we're going to believe that you sin three times a day. So why do you say Slach Lanu Avinu three times a day? You said it in Shachris. Why do you have to repeat it in Mincha? You didn't do any Chatam. You didn't sin between Shachris and Mincha. So Rav Sadia Gaon said, I'll answer your question with a story. I was once visiting a certain town, and I came to the town. It was evening time, and I checked into the local kosher inn. And, you know, I rented a room. They served a meal. Everything was fine. Now, in those days, there were no photographs. If you did not meet Rav Saadia Gaon personally, you would have no idea what he looked like. So he checked into the inn. This innkeeper didn't know who he was. Fine. The next morning, he met with the Rav of the town to take care of whatever business it was that he came to that town in the first place. And still early in the day, so the Rav said to Rav Saadia Gaon, "This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for our community. Can you please be mechabed us, stay a little longer, and deliver a shir to the tzibur?" So Rav Saadia Gaon said, "Okay." So the Rav sent out messages. Shichim went all over the town. The entire town shut down. Everyone streamed to the main shul in the city. And Rav Saadia Gaon is in town. The great Gadol Hador is going to give a shir. When Rav Saadia Gaon gives a shir, this innkeeper sees him and realizes he's staying in his inn. After the shir was over, he pushed his way to the front, goes running over to Rav Saadia Gaon and says, "I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I didn't know who you were. Please forgive me." So Rav Saadia Gaon said to him, "What do you mean forgive you? You didn't do anything wrong. I came to your hotel. You offered me a very fine room at a very fair price. You served a wonderful, hearty meal. And I have no complaints. You treated me wonderfully. Why are you asking for forgiveness?" I said, No. Please forgive me. I didn't know who you were." "So what? You didn't do anything wrong." And the innkeeper said, "But if I would have known who you were, I would have rolled out the red carpet. I would have served a four-course meal. I would have had a band. Who knows what I would have done if I only knew who you were." That's what Rav Saadia Gaon said. Rav Saadia Gaon said to his Talmidim, "We need to be growing constantly. And if we're growing constantly, we have a greater hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the afternoon than we did in the morning. And maybe we didn't commit any actual sins. But we should turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, if I only knew this morning what I knew now, if I only appreciated you, if I only grew, if I was only that much closer to you, I would have, who knows what I would have done. I would have rolled out the red carpet. I would have served a four-course banquet. I don't know what I would have done. It would have been more. So I could say Slach Lanu." And I would add, if a person doesn't feel that way, then he for sure could say Slach Lanu. Because that is our obligation. Constant growth. Constant growth mode. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us all the siyata d'shmaya, not only to keep Torah and mitzvahs, not only to be an Eved Hashem, but to grow, to fight against our Yetzer Hara, to conquer it, to climb ever higher mountains, and to steig and grow and become all that Kadosh Baruch Hu planned for us, and we should all be zolcha together to see the Gula Shleima and to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu v'mehera v'yameinu. Amen.